Is This a Ghost is sponsored by Pinckney Bend Distillery. Our good friends at Pinckney Bend are back, Patrick.
Ooh, buddy. Somebody opened up the old checkbook, it sounds like.
Someone realized that Clayton lives in Virginia and it will be harder for him to come collect free whiskey. So they said, we're back in.
For as much free whiskey, I guess.
Yeah, for like, sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're not paying for the extra luggage to go back? No. Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think we could find some sort of middle ground here.
We could fit in that in. Mm-hmm. We are this week sponsored by Pinckney Bend Distillery. Our old friends, the very first sponsors, very early supporters of this podcast. Mm-hmm. Before almost any of these listeners mm-hmm. ever supported this podcast, Pinckney Bend was here.
Before any of you even knew about this.
That's true. That is true. Tara was our first listener mm-hmm. and she's never listened, but she is the first one who said, this is a, okay, sure.
Kind of perfect for this podcast. Our first listener never actually listened to the show, but, you know.
Here's why we're talking about Pinckney Bend tonight. They have a new program, the Grow With Us plaque. And here's how it works. If you want to support Pinckney Bend, and you should, because they have supported us, for a long, long time. And they're really wonderful people, really wonderful folks. And they're a really great, well-run, very small business out in very small Missouri. And if you want to help them, you can buy a plaque on their brand new fancy patio. And there's varying price levels here, but you mm-hmm. can buy a plaque. You can put someone's name on it. You can put a business name on it. You can make a funny joke on the plaque. I think you get like 3 lines of text on the plaque.
How? Okay. My question, okay. Obviously, mm-hmm. you know where this is going, right?
Mm-hmm.
How dirty can I get on this plaque?
Very.
That's my, like, okay. Like, are there?
There's no, here's what I'll say. I'm looking at the, mm-hmm. Right now I'm looking at the website. Mm-hmm. There is no content restriction listed.
Interesting.
Not a single one.
Okay. So like. The C word.
Don't see why not. Don't see why not. Also, sure. You've been the New Haven friend. You know, yeah. That's fine. It's all fair game.
Oh, the C word is corn whiskey, by the way. I don't know if anybody knew that. The C word is corn whiskey.
You can't say that on air. You can't say that on air. Okay. You can't say corn whiskey on air.
Jeremy will bleep it. It'll be fine.
Jeremy's not here right now. It's me.
What?
God damn, we'll talk about it later.
Oh.
Anyway, you should go to Pinckney Bend, PinckneyBend.com and check out the options. You can buy a silver plaque. You can get a gold plaque. You can get a small one. You can get a big one. It mm-hmm. comes with some extra perks too, like free whiskey and free tastings if you're in the area or you ever visit or, you know, free tours and things. But really what you get out of it is the satisfaction of helping people who have supported us for a really long time, who we really love and who are just doing great work out there in the middle of Missouri, and they need your help to grow. This is your chance. So go check it out. Patrick, any final thoughts about this ad?
No, I'm really happy to have participated in it. Really. That's
thank you for being here.
It's great
for a change.
Hmm.
Welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every week I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who sometimes shows up.
I'm real here.
Sometimes.
I'm real here.
Sometimes he's real here, and sometimes he's real not. So I've been piecing this through in my head, because mm-hmm. I, just for the listeners, so you all know. So last week on Sunday, as I normally do, I texted Patrick to say, mm-hmm. okay, we good for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But right before I did last week for our normal recording, I looked on Instagram and I saw that your wife, Amy, mm-hmm. had been posting photos on Instagram as if you had just arrived on an island.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And yeah. I thought, well, this beautiful is strange island. Because, and the reason I found this strange is because several weeks ago, mm-hmm. you and I had talked about our schedule because I mm-hmm. said I'm moving to Virginia. Right. Like I can't be available the first Monday after I do that. Mm-hmm. And you said, that's okay because we're going to be on an island that day.
Right.
And I said, great. So we did 2 episodes a week before. We were all mm-hmm. fine. Now, that was in late-ish June.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so then the next week after that, we came back, we recorded an episode, mm-hmm. which everyone has heard by now. Mm-hmm. And during that episode, I made comment of, oh, you're back from the island. And you were like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I thought,
correct.
It's just a funny bit that you're doing that I don't understand. And you probably thought it was a funny bit I was doing. You didn't understand.
Because the island was the northwest side of Chicago, which I was kind of like, yeah, okay, sure. The island, yeah. Mon. Right.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I do want to, I'm glad you brought that up. So I do want to, so that circles me back then to last Sunday, which is when we normally would have recorded this episode. Because mm-hmm. now as we're recording, this episode goes out in like 48 hours.
Right.
And Jeremy's out of town. So mm-hmm. this is going to be, I don't know what this episode's going to be, but it's going to be unedited.
It's going to ruin his vacation, tell you that much.
Yeah. They're not going to like that. But let me just, let me read, let me get my glasses. Let me read, I just want to read some verbatim here. I want to make sure I'm representing you correctly.
Right. Can you make sure to add in the timestamps of when exactly you're asking me these things?
Sure. Sure. You think that's going to help your case?
I really do. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Where are we here? Okay. So after on Sunday night, mm-hmm. Let's see, 7:41 PM Eastern time. Mm-hmm. About the time I would normally say, hey, we're recording.
Right.
But I had just seen Amy's post.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So 7:41 Eastern time.
Oh, you knew we were on Eastern time because you were on an island in Eastern.
Yeah, because I was on the East Coast. That's what they named it after that. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Okay, I'll just read this. I said, hey, Bob Marley, when are you coming back from the island? And you said, hey, Mon. And at this point, I thought one of two things. Either you're being borderline racially offensive, or maybe there's a slight chance you're just bad at punctuation and you're saying, hey, comma, Mon, as in Monday.
Incorrect.
Like the next day, which would have been normal.
It was a magical third option. I was drunk on vacation. That was the magical third option.
Well, that became clear when you said after that, I'm on island time. And so I said, is that Monday or island man? And then you said back Saturday night, which was a surprise to me because we have a show to record. And so let's see. So I said, what you're saying is we won't have an episode of iTag next week. Interesting, interesting, interesting. And you said, hey, Mon. And I let you know that I am feeling so suddenly so opposite of islandy.
Right.
And so we talked about a plan.
Sure.
And you said you would do it tonight, which you're doing now, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. And gosh, I want to read one more thing here. At one point I said, I'm going to say so many mean things about your new accent tomorrow. And you said, you don't sound jammin', Mon. And I do want to point out that I did not feel jamming.
Technically.
I did not.
Technically, I said, you don't sound very jamming because you didn't sound like very jamming.
Sorry. I didn't read that incorrectly. You don't sound very jamming.
You didn't sound very jamming. You didn't.
And I did not feel very jamming. And so what I find really interesting about this is that I don't know, I guess you confused your Chicago trip and your island trip maybe dates originally.
I take so many trips. I can't be expected to keep a track. I mean,
I don't think you do actually.
Amy knows what days we're gone.
I should have just checked. Yeah. Really I should only check calendar with Amy. That's on me. That's on me. Agreed. But it was so funny because before I heard last week's episode, I was like, what the fuck is Patrick talking about? He was going out of town like 2 weeks ago or three weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then I heard the episode where we mentioned this and we were both confused about each other, not understanding when you were going out of town, which was wrong on both of us. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we're here. We're doing it. We're doing a two show night.
Oh, I love two show nights.
Everyone loves two show nights except me because I forget how to read by the end of it. But I guess I'll ask, how was your vacation?
My vacation was good. It was fantastic. It was very relaxing.
Yeah. I never saw a picture of you with your shirt off. I did see several pictures of you with your shirt up, which I thought was different.
I was letting my belly breathe a little bit. It gets real hot.
But not like the whole thing. You
know? No, absolutely not. No.
Yeah. Your chest gets chilly. But,
yeah, I was sunbathing without my shirt for about 1 hour on the first day and got cooked like a dorm room turkey. And
a dorm room turkey.
Mm-hmm. You ever try cooking a turkey in a dorm room?
I've only heard legends of this. Mm. Have you done it?
Of the burning, because it burns really quickly.
I don't even know how you even attempt to do that.
Hot plate.
Microwave?
Hot plate. Yeah.
No, just that's.
Yeah. So. Anyway, day one, noon on day one, burnt to a crisp. So it was shirt time for the rest of the week.
That sounds right. That sounds right. Good.
Okay, and then on the way home yesterday, no big news happened.
It's hard to know how much and if at all we should talk about the fact that presidential candidate got almost assassinated yesterday.
Got his ear shot off.
God, it's It's
I mean, it's a it's Vincent Van Gogh, Evander Holyfield, and Donald Trump. You know, comes in threes.
It's good company.
They always say comes in threes. So
it takes a while sometimes to get there, but eventually you know, you do.
A couple centuries, you know, a few here we are. Few civilizations passing over. But yeah, that's what I've always heard.
It's been a weird decade.
It has been. And
I think is where I come down.
Maybe this is one of the punctuation marks at the end of said decade. I don't know.
I feel like maybe it's an ellipsis leading to a crescendo that we'll see. I don't know. God, what a time to be alive.
Very interesting. And yet nothing's going to be any different tomorrow. that's kind of the funny thing about all of this. Like Donald Trump has been like an episode of The Simpsons for the last 10 years. Like something like completely calamitous and insane happens. And then the next week you're like, wait, is nothing different now? Wait, yeah. Bart's still in third grade? What?
I mean, this is the thing. Like if you have a presidential candidate for the United States of America presidency who can get shot, I mean, he was, you know, that counts, I think, having your ear blown off. And people are like, makes sense. That, I mean, that's not a state of affairs that you want to be locked into, you know?
Right. I mean, it moves the dial, but it doesn't really, it just kind of like turns it up a little bit. It doesn't really move it to any different station.
Yeah.
It's the same station, just turned up.
Just a little more so. A little more so.
I'm just waiting to see.
Donald Trump was Jamin Mon?
I don't think he was Jamin. I think once, you know, once the smoke cleared, maybe he was Jamin a little bit after that. But up until that point, probably not so Jamin.
Boy,
I will be so amused tomorrow night as we record. Tomorrow night is the Republican National Convention. And I imagine Donald Trump is going to show up with a bandage the size of a boxing glove on the side of his head to speak during that speech.
If he shows up with half his face literally covered in bandages to show how he survived an attack, I would be 0% surprised.
It could be negative surprised.
Well, so Aaron and I last night when this news broke, we were at a theater here in Stanton. We were doing a lovely dinner theater. We saw Art by Yasmina Reza at a really great local theater company. And the dinner was like a farm to table from a local chef. It was really, really great. And the whole night was so strange because it went great. And then afterward, everyone looked at their phones and everyone in the whole place was like, oh, my God, what did we miss? But I do want to share one quick story about the dinner theater event itself. So, you know, Aaron and I are new to town, brand new. You've been here about 3 weeks now. And we're trying to just, you know, go out and meet people and kind of understand the dynamic of this. It's a small town. So,
get
the
lay
of the
land.
Yeah, I get it. You know, small towns are very clicky sometimes. And so we're just trying to you know, see what's up. And so we go to this theater company, Silver Line Theater. They did great work. It was really fun. We go, it's dinner theater. And the way they had it set up, it's like cabaret style with like tables in front of the stage with six chairs at each table. All right.
Okay.
Now, Aaron and I go, we don't know anybody. And so we go, we get our drinks. Then we go to sit down and we just pick there's a table with two empty seats. And we go and we're like, can we sit here? And they're like, yeah, of course.
Perfect.
So we sit down. There's an older couple and a younger couple.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Exorcist rules. I like that.
Yes. You always listen. If you've got the option, you always want an old something and a young something in case a demon shows up.
Anytime you look around and you see an old couple and a young couple and you in the middle, you know which role you're going to be playing.
Well, that is true. It's true. So we sit down and what we eventually throughout the course of the night will learn about the old couple is that they are area royalty.
Oh.
Like they are people, they are both it's a husband and wife team. They are both former lawyers. She was a telecommunications lawyer, like when AT&T got broken up, like outside of DC.
Okay.
Right. So that sort of thing. And then there's a fellowship at my college that is named after them because they fund it. And like everyone knows, and she was on like the board. She was a chair of the board of directors for the American Shakespeare Center. Like we will eventually come to learn these are like the people in town. Right. And we learn this from what they say, but also from like, as we wander through the theater, some people, some who we know and some whom we don't know say, do you know who you're sitting with? And they feel it. So it's like that kind of situation. Now, when we first sit down, of course, we don't know any of this. Right.
Of course. Yeah.
And they're very kind, and we're talking, and we sit down and we introduce ourselves. And the very first thing Erin does is she is looking for the water. There's water at the table, right?
Makes sense.
And we have water glasses. Ours are empty because we just sat down at empty seats. Erin mm-hmm. reaches out. She grabs the carafe of water and she pours herself a glass of water. And then she pours me a glass of water.
Mm.
And then she looks at the carafe quizzically and says, "Is this water?" And the very wealthy patron of Augusta County, Virginia, looks there and says, "No, dear, that's our wine."
There's a lot of crafts out there, guys.
This was our introduction to the, I mean, one of the biggest power players, if not the biggest power player in all of this area was Erin, just just picking up their carafe of white wine and being like, boop, that's ours. Boop, boop, that's ours.
I love starting off with 16 ounces of wine. Don't you? I love a pint glass full to the brim.
In Aaron's absolute defense, it was very dark. It was white wine, of course. It was very pale white wine. It looked, I also thought it was water. So she, you know, didn't do anything surprising, but, that is how, that night started.
Well,
so we do know how to make an entrance. I will say they were very nice about it. And they would not let us buy a replacement bottle. Cause I was stunned. I'm sitting here thinking like, what has happened? And I'm in shock. And then the woman gets up to go buy another carafe of wine. And Erin's like, "Clayton, go buy that bottle." I was like, oh,
duh. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay. Yes. So I stand up and she wouldn't let us do it. And they were very nice about it. And we laughed. I think we're good.
Okay.
Here, I think. You think so?
You're going to find out as soon as you start that job. That's what you're going to find
absolutely.
Out.
Yeah. Well, because, one of the first people she talked about was like, blah, blah, blah. And Paul, who is my provost. And she's like, we're good friends with Paul and did this and this. I'm like, all right, well, here we go. Here we go.
I hope you have nice things to say to Paul. That's what I hope.
We are nailing it.
It'll be funny if, like the first day you show up at work, there's just like an empty bottle of wine on your desk. Oh no.
I feel like there's going to be follow-ups to the story probably coming in over the course of the next few months.
I imagine. Hopefully they're all positive. Yeah.
They were very nice. We had a great night with them. They were wonderful. And thank God.
have you been making a mental list of everybody taller than you in this town?
Haven't found a single one.
I kind of figured. I sort of figured.
So far, so good.
Yeah. Thus far, physical king of the town.
And if I stand on top of the highest mountain in town, because there are several, I am lord of all
ice array. You should probably let people know that.
I might bring a flag. I plant a flag somewhere. this is me. This is me and this is mine. by the way, so whenever you decide to come through town... So on your way maybe to visit Griffin McElroy and Rachel and and Benny Boy in DC, you can stop in Stanton. I have a place for us to do a live episode of the podcast.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Cabaret style?
Yes, indeed. They were telling us they were looking for more pop-up things to do.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, I have the right pop-up thing for you, friends.
Oh, man. That's wonderful. Can't wait to meet all of your new friends.
And probably the provost will be there. Probably the president of the college will be there. And that'll be my last day teaching at that college. But it'll be fun. Well, I do have a ghost story for us.
Oh, okay. We've been recording for a while here.
It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Well, I'm not editing any of this again because Jeremy's not here. So listen, so I guess we should get to it.
Sloppily sync him up and then publish it.
I should say that Jeremy did send me all the sound effects so I could do them from my board.
Okay, good. That's convenient.
As we do this, so it's good. So here's one file he sent me. Let's just see what this sounds like.
Ding. Wham. Ding.
Did you just lay down on the pad or something? What happened there?
Here's what I've decided has happened. Jeremy has forgotten that I don't have Audacity.
Uh-huh.
And he may have laid over all the tracks individually. And since I don't have the program that he uses, I cannot separate them.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we get.
Good news.
The beep beep. What is the beep beep? Go ahead. Yeah.
I mean, the good news, obviously, is that you only need to worry about one button tonight.
That is true. That's got a catch-all. Oh man. All right. So, but actually, so that was, you did go through, right? And you did split these up. You sent them to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready for a, pleased to announce to you, this is news for you. You sent them to me earlier with them all split up, but I, in the spirit of Jeremy, I did go in and I pre-recorded a sort of special little dong.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah.
Pre-dong. So are you ready for the, are you ready for the ghost story?
I'm ready for the pre-dong.
Well, I don't think we should, I regret
good
that.
Good luck editing that out.
Yeah, that's in there. All right. Well, here we go.
Ding. Ding.
Ding.
Dong.
James Henry Dooley was born on January 17th, 1841 in Richmond, Virginia.
Right up the street from Stanton, I'd imagine.
It's about 90 minutes away. Yes, indeed. He was the son of Irish immigrants named John and Sarah Dooley. And James was one of nine children. I think nine who survived.
Okay. So who knows how many children?
I mean, I would assume 22.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think the odds are there, yeah. Now, his father, John, made hats.
Okay.
I have a joke here that made more sense when I was writing this. It's not funny in hindsight. Do you want to hear it or not? Should we skip it?
You definitely skip it.
Okay, good. Dooley attended Georgetown College, which is now, of course, Georgetown University in the Washington, D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually the first student at Georgetown to rank head of his class during all four of his years.
Okay, so anyway, he's one of nine.
Nerds.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
One of nine.
Yep.
The father, who I assume is the only one that worked just because the day and age.
Sure.
Just stitched together.
Until the kids were four.
Right.
Then
sure.
They, yeah. Okay. Right.
So the dad just stitches together hats for a living. And.
But not hats for the penis because they had nine children. Hold on. I got a rim shot here, but I got to go to the other. Hold on a second. You keep going and I'll just.
That's fine. That's fine. I can wait. I have time. Scroll over.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Yep. Eh.
Okay.
Really, really happy that you'll be editing all this.
I'm not, actually. Yeah. So everyone gets to hear what you hear. Please continue.
So, sign of the day and age there was that the dad makes like a hat every 2 weeks, and that is enough money
to
send nine
University.
Fucking kids to Georgetown University. Sure, why not? Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah, it's interesting. People are like, well, in my age, we did this, this, this. Like, well, in your age, it cost 9 cents to go to college. Yeah. So that must have been really cool.
When you graduated from college, they gave you a coal mine in Kentucky. So no, I'll tell you.
So he graduates then in 1860, which is interesting timing. Because right after he gets out of college, he enlists in the Civil War for the Confederate Army.
You want to complain about the job market when you graduated college? Try graduating in 1860.
That's tough, man. That's tough.
He's scrolling through like endless, endless Indeed posts. Like, nope, 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 nope.
Confederate infantryman, Confederate soldier, Confederate lieutenant. Maybe.
Senior infantryman. Okay, maybe I'm going to put that on the maybe list.
Oh, man. So he's part of the Confederates, which is not... maybe he's not so smart after all, but he goes by it. Honestly, he joins his father's unit, which is the 1st Virginia Infantry. Dooley James, our hero here, was wounded in the Battle of Williamsburg in 1862 and was consequently captured by the Union Army. We don't feel bad about that, do we?
No, I'm more thinking like, oh well, that's the end of your fighting.
Story
I guess.
Over.
Yeah.
The Union Army hung on to him for a short time, but eventually let him go. Reasons that I didn't see and didn't feel like exploring. After that, Dooley spends the rest of the war working in the Confederate Ordnance Department in Richmond. This was a place that basically like allotted resources to different you know, units and regiments all over the, right.
yeah.
the army.
Yeah.
Did a bad job, I think, because they did lose.
But did they lose because they didn't have enough hardtack? That's the question. I don't know. Maybe.
They didn't win because they had enough hardtack. That's what we know for sure.
I thought I sent you 200 bullets and 200 hardtack. Instead, I sent you 2,000 bullets and no hardtack.
That's a problem. I sent you no bullets and 2,000 hardtack. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I thought you were just throwing meat at the other soldiers, and I do feel responsible for the loss of that great battle. After the war, Dooley goes back to school at Georgetown to get his master's degree. Then he returns to Richmond, and I just keep thinking, like, I don't know who was, you know, who the professors were at this time, but it does feel a little bit like he's like, well, okay, I am going to go to war. I'm going to try to kill all my professors. And then after the war, he's like, well, I will go back to that same university and learn a lot from whoever is left alive that I didn't kill.
I'm actually here on the GI Bill, but not,
not
the good one. I'm really
your GI Bill. So he graduates again. So he's got a master's. Dooley's back in Richmond. It's time to get serious. He becomes a lawyer. And I think this was actually, this was during the time when it didn't actually take much to be a lawyer. You could just be like, I am a lawyer.
Yeah.
And you were, there was no bar exam at this point. You could just be a lawyer.
I bought the books. They are in my wagon. Therefore.
Yes. I will read them someday. And for now, let's make money. So this was an interesting time because Richmond, Virginia, was starting to rebuild its business district. And I assume this is literal because this is post-Civil War. So there's growth opportunities. It's a leveled town. And lots of law work, I suppose, for Dooley.
I guess. Are we also like, you could have been like a mason or something. You're like, oh, right. Yeah, I know. But what about if you need representation in a workman's comp claim? Yeah, I mean, have you ever thought about that?
But do you have a masonry lawyer? Yeah. What's a masonry lawyer? It'll be $1,000 to find out.
I will have to check the book, though. It is in my wagon. Give me one moment.
Here is a quote that I pulled together. So upon his father's death in 1868, James Dooley started using his father's honorific major, although he himself never attained that rank.
I did not know they worked that way. This is news to me.
Yeah. Stolen valor is a legitimate thing.
I'm going to start going by my dad's title. Son of a bitch. That's what I'm going to be.
I was going to say smooth eyebrows. Smooth eyebrows Dean, but son of a bitch is also very good.
Dolphin Dean, you heard it here.
But they grew back, right?
They did. Yeah, gloriously. Just beautiful. Yeah.
And the eyelashes. Yeah, yeah. So he's happy with the crust that builds up.
I wouldn't say any part of him is happy, but the eyelashes grew back just beautifully. Yep.
And he has not had them plucked again.
No, I think he realized that maybe that was just a one-time deal.
It's too bad they grew back. Was this an experiment to see if they wouldn't grow back? I mean, I'm glad they grew back.
Right, yeah, because of the dirt.
On behalf of him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. the reasons they exist. I don't know. I think he kind of realized, you know what? If they grow back, that means they must have been real.
God's plan. It's God's plan.
If God didn't want me to have eyelashes, he wouldn't have made them grow back.
Thumbed his nose at God once and learned his lesson. Anyway, so he starts calling himself Major Dooley, which he will refer to himself as for the rest of his life, even though he was never a major. And then Dooley meets a woman named Sally O'May. Her middle initial is O. Her last name is May. It's not Sally O'May.
Not Irish.
Not Irish.
No.
It's not Sally O'May.
Though speaking of stolen valor, referring to yourself as Sally O'May.
All that wonderful Irish valor that everyone is so hungry for all the time. Oh, man. I think at this point in American history, the Irish were actually very well sought after. Very lauded, well respected. Makes a lot of sense. Sally was from a little town called Stanton, Virginia.
Oh, your old stomping grounds.
My new stomping grounds. Where I am either in with the in crowd or very much out with the in crowd. We'll find out in a couple days because she did give me her email address and said, stay in touch.
Oh, what does that mean exactly?
I don't know. She passed the, so she wrote her, again, we had a great time with them. Sure, they were very kind about the fact that my wife stole the entire bottle of wine. Yep.
Poured over ice into juice glasses.
It was a real thing. But I think when I told them I was from Chicago, they were like, oh,
it's
and maybe
okay.
It's like,
you're obviously very stupid.
That's well, I was going to say, maybe this is how we do it in cities, and they haven't yet learned that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Your Absolutely. Thing is probably more accurate,
You're
actually.
From Chicago. Ah, so oh. you steal.
Oh. That's fine. That did come up once. It was a little uncomfortable, but we got through it. there was, and then the younger couple who was there, they're a little younger than us. They were, they are the children of friends of the older couple.
Okay.
And they like dragged them along. So they knew each other very well. And then the guy, the younger guy who is like, he's the third in his family. So they have like a construction empire.
He's okay.
The third. Yeah.
Yeah. This guy, this guy totally saw the wine thing the whole way. Like he watched Aaron pick it up and he was just like, oh, we are just going to see
tell you,
what happens.
Here. He laughed so much. And he said, listen, if you're going to do that to someone, these are the people to do it to. Mm-hmm. So I think that was right.
Okay. Okay. Fair
they
enough.
Invited me out to their country club. They said, you play golf? And I said, technically. And they said, what do you mean? And I said, I do like to play, but I'm terrible. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, come out to the club because they are not only are they members of a club here, but the woman in the younger couple, her mom is the golf pro at the local club.
Sure, of course.
Because of course, and they were, and I said, well, does she give lessons? And they said, well, yeah, it's her whole job. And I said, yeah, that was a stupid thing to say. but I do need them.
What do you think she does? Just like stand around?
I know. I was just very nervous. And they're like, we should come out and play. And I said, I just want to reiterate, like, I have only ever made people I play with feel very angry because I'm very bad at it. Mm-hmm. And they said, that's okay. It's fine. We love that. And I said, you won't. You won't. But they invited us to come out and play at the club. So they all put their phone numbers and email addresses down and gave us a piece of paper. And I don't know. Maybe we're being hazed. It feels like a trap.
I'd let that one simmer for a few weeks. I really would.
Where were we? Oh, Sally O May is from Stanton, Virginia, and she and James Dooley, they're just so much in love. This is real hot stuff. Real hot stuff. Now, Dooley's doing quite well for himself.
Clearly.
Through all his fake lawyering. And he starts investing in real estate, which is pretty profitable, generally speaking, if you know what you're doing. I lost some money on the house we just sold in Chicago, so I don't know what I'm doing. But this guy seemed to know what he was doing. Now, this leads to more money, which leads to expansion of his business into railroads and insurance and steel and banking.
Okay.
So he's got it all covered.
Yeah. Kind of going the Vanderbilt route. Okay.
Yeah. In 1880, then, Dooley joins the board of directors of the Richmond and Danville Railroad, which is a pretty good guy. I mean, board of directors of a railroad.
These cash checks. You don't do
nothing
shit else.
Except cash checks. And say, and sometimes you go, no. And they're like, oh, wow, yeah, good advice. Here's $1 million more. So after Dooley comes on board, the railroad expands and lays over 8,000 miles of new track. So it's going great. I don't know if that's attributed to him. Probably not, but he just right place, right time. He was also on the board of the Southern Railway Company, and he later founded the Seaboard Airline Railroad. Now, the Seaboard Airline called itself, quote, the route of courteous service. Unlike all those other fucking railways, which they encourage the conductors to beat it up with clubs if you ask for a scotch.
The airline railroad.
Well, airline is two words. Seaboard air line.
Okay.
So got to do it the right inflection. Yeah. Seaboard air.
Seaboard air line.
You get sea air. While you're on board, you get some sea air.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Smells
it's
awful.
A railroad line.
Smells like rotting whales and yeah.
Very bad.
Industrial waste.
There's a lot of whaling happening at this point. Fucking gross. So anyway, he's rocking the railroads. Mm-hmm. And I get so angry thinking about this point in history where it's like, you could just buy into a railroad and get fucking rich. Mm-hmm. We really missed out. This sucks. This sucks. Now all we have is crypto. It's like, I don't think it's going to work out. I don't know. I've ridden a lot of Amtrak. I feel like we may have passed the days when railroads are really something.
I would say so. Yeah, I would say Amtrak kind of snuffed that one out back in the 70s. with a cheap nylon pillow as thick as a book.
I do like cheap, you know, as a person who is me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But yeah, just there's no what's our we need a version of a railroad for us. Like a thing where you could be like, yeah, here's $1,000. Mm-hmm. Make me very wealthy.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I think it's called extortion. I think that's the only way. Yeah.
I think I'm in. I don't know. At this point, I'm ready. Not getting any younger. So in 1909, then, James Dooley is elected to the board of the Chesapeake and Ohio Railway.
Ooh.
The CNO. And I think this might actually be where the monopoly B&O Railroad comes from. I think because this was a major railroad. Mm-hmm. Now, That's complete conjecture on my part. However,
the letters are very similar, and so I'm going to
assume.
They
are similar. Yeah. I feel like, yes, Milton, one of the Milton brothers was like, I don't know. B? No, C? Fuck, I already wrote a B. but it's a big deal. And so Dooley is living large. I should note, just because we're talking about how rich he is. He also seems to have been a pretty solid philanthropist.
Okay.
Despite his views on fighting to retain the right to own humans, he does seem to have done a lot of good. He gave $3 million in like early 1900s to the St. Joseph's Orphanage, which now is, that's a lot of money.
You can buy a lot of orphans with that. I mean,
you can buy all the orphans, really. he also built a big hospital, which I think is still around today in Richmond. He raised funds for something in Ireland, which I don't know what that was about, but they needed money and he was like, I'll help you. And that's good. Sally too, she was like-minded. She was a philanthropist. She would do things like donate her jewels to Episcopal causes.
Oh, okay.
A little more specificity there. Yeah. A little more narrow.
Like if the Episcopals wanted to bury treasure on the beach. She was right there. She was like, yeah.
She's like, yes, here's some. Absolutely.
Here's some rubies. You guys like rubies?
Let's go. Please
emeralds.
Do.
You ever heard of topaz?
Oh, man. So they do a lot of good things. So I don't want to disparage them by saying they're rich. They are very rich, but they also seem like they did some good stuff with it.
Donating your jewels to a good cause is still just like the strangest fucking thing I can think of.
You know? What a life you must live if you have like jewels. You'd be like, oh, will they take these, dear? Just like ruby slipping through your fingers.
Some kid comes to your front door with like a clipboard and a box of chocolate bars, and you're like, oh, here, how many rubies will purchase a Mr. Goodsense bar? Oh, thank you. Wonderful.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Okay.
So they're living their lives, and they live in a big stone mansion in Richmond. They're on a 100-acre estate, which overlooks the James River, just west of Richmond. And I haven't yet seen the James River, but it's something that here in Stanton, people are very excited about.
Okay.
Because, you know, I come from, obviously, you know, Missouri. Yeah. Lots of rivers.
Yeah, riparian folk, of course.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, you know, float trips and things are a big deal for Missouri folk.
Right. Does that extend to Virginia?
Well, are there like river, like what's the deal here? Cause like there are a lot of rivers. Like, is there do you guys do floating here? And the consensus is the James River is like the river for excitement.
Okay.
You can do float trips. You can do canoes, you can do kayaks. Mm. Like that's like the river experience.
Okay. All right.
Now in Missouri, we have like 17 of those, but you know, you're the James. So the James is going to be, I think, pretty good. Anyways, it sounds like a great river. It flows into the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
One state over.
Yeah.
So anyway, they live there. They overlook the James River, 100-acre estate. It's beautiful. He names this mansion Maymont after his wife, Sally May.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a picture for you of this house, which I will try to remember how to share. Here it is. This is Maymont.
Oh, lovely. Just lovely. Several turrets.
Many turrets, lots of columns. I mean, too many columns, quite frankly.
Really, I'm counting like at least a dozen columns before I get bored. That's just a lot of columns.
Yeah, it's too many columns.
Yep. So yeah, just a great home.
Brownstone, very solid. Very solid.
Absolutely.
Then 100 acres to back it up. Look, a little like bridge.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Bridge. Got a house with a bridge? You're doing okay. is what they say. So that's their home. That's Maymont. Now, this includes a Japanese ornamental garden. Mm-hmm. There's a waterfall on premises.
Oh, my.
It's beautiful. It's idyllic, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, there's this thing where, you know how like when you have... Okay, so you know, like when you have like 100 acres,
right?
Mm-hmm. It's like
like Winnie the Pooh.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. When you have a wood, and you're like, this is good. I love this, but like, where do we spend the summers?
Right.
There's nowhere for you to be.
Right.
In summer.
Mm-hmm.
Solid spring place. Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But what am I gonna do in the summer? Like, go like to the back of the 100 acres?
Mm.
Like some Philistine. Mm. Absolutely
gross.
Not.
Oh, gross. No. So they obviously need a summer place.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1911, when James is 70 years old, Sally is 65 years old, getting up in years.
Mm-hmm.
Could still be presidents, though. they start to look for a second estate, an additional estate.
Mm, sure.
Now, Sally really loves going back to Stanton. Her family is still there. Also, this is a great town. Like all the best people live there is something I read recently. Mm-hmm. I think that's true even today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, just, it's a great place.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, I get it, but, they end up buying property close to Stanton in Afton, Virginia.
Which, okay. Couldn't afford Stanton.
They could afford Stanton. However, I will tell you, if you could see through this wall behind me,
mm-hmm. Yep.
You would see Afton Mountain.
Oh, okay.
All right. So it's right over there. Stanton is that way.
Uh-huh.
Afton is that way.
Uh-huh.
We're right in between the two of them. And Afton Mountain is a very, very big mountain peak here. And the whole area is gorgeous. So they buy a property in Afton at the crest of a mountain in the Blue Ridge Mountains, which overlooks the Shenandoah and Rockfish Valleys. Ooh. And this is a place we have been driving through a lot in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking gorgeous. Really great. So they find this and they're like, yeah, we can build a summer house here, I guess.
It'll work.
Yeah,
sure.
I suppose. Yeah. But when they find it, it's just a big mountaintop field.
Mm-hmm.
And it's owned by this family called the Yount family. Mm-hmm. Yount. Y-O-U-N-T. Mm-hmm. Yount family.
They'll be dead in a second anyway. It's fine.
That's correct. And they use it to graze cattle.
Mm.
It was a big waste. So they buy this land. They chase the cattle off of it. And then they're like, our other house is so gross. Let's make this one nice.
Mm, okay.
And you've seen their old house.
Right. Yeah. A little gross.
So you know. It's, you know. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So they built a summer house, but they didn't really build a summer house. They built a summer palace.
Okay.
I'm going to show you this thing in just a second. And the fact that this is their summer home is a bit of a surprise. It's built in the Italianate style.
Mm, interesting.
Which, as you know, means it is mostly made of which material?
White marble.
Thank you. Very good. Wow. That's a great guess. That was a great guess. You knocked it out of the park.
I mean, that or Adobe, but I didn't really know.
Or paint, I guess. Yeah. A lot of paints flying around there.
I don't know. Pizza sauce? I'm not entirely sure.
So it is chock-a-block with marble. The exterior is made of marble from Georgia, the state, not the country.
Right.
But the interior is true Italian marble.
Wow.
It took more than 300 artisans over a year to carve and sculpt this palace.
Oof.
And it has all the state-of-the-art luxuries at the time. Plumbing. Got indoor bathrooms and sinks and showers and stuff.
Oof.
It's got central heat. It's got electricity.
Hmm.
It's actually the first house in Nelson County, which is one county over from us, to have had electricity.
Hmm.
And to do this, Dooley built his own power plant.
Mm.
So again, we've got someone who's just like, I would love electricity. Let's build a fucking power plant.
Let's just make it in the backyard.
Must be nice. How nice to be able to say I'm a lawyer and be true and just make a lot of money. It also had a built-in elevator and a dumbwaiter.
Hmm.
So let me just show you some pictures now of this palace. So here is the exterior.
Oh, my goodness.
It is. I mean, their real house is great.
Mm-hmm.
This is
where you live.
This is truly a palace. Yeah. I mean, this is insane. This is just their fucking summer house. So, and again, he's 70 and she's 65. Like, they don't have a lot of time left.
Yeah. And look at all the stairs. I mean, really.
Well, there is an elevator. I don't know where the elevator is, but I don't know if it goes up to like up here.
I don't think. Yeah. But there's two pronounced peaks in the house. Like, you can't give elevators.
Those are the guest rooms for sure.
Absolutely.
That's servants' quarters.
Mm-hmm. The servants boil on the roof.
This is all marble. This is Georgian marble. Let's see the interior of the house.
Sure.
Here's the grand stairwell.
Goodness gracious.
It's insane.
Wow.
I mean, it's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try to describe what you're seeing here?
I'm looking at it. What appears to be like red velvet marble. I don't know.
It's like a copper marble. Yeah.
This is not a material I, a plebeian I'm familiar with.
/ engineer.
All. Yeah.
We'll remind everyone. Here is a room.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Parquet flooring. Beautiful. Wow. Just a beautiful, beautiful home.
It's just crazy. And this is what it looks like today, of course. So, you know, 100 years ago, I'm sure it was even more magnificent. Here is a room with a fireplace. Mm-hmm. Very intricate scroll work.
Oh, my gosh.
Along the, as you can see, it's really, really incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And here, so here's looking at the first landing of that staircase you saw here. If we zoom in here.
A big stained glass mural of sorts or stained glass window at the top of the main stair set. I'm not sure who this is.
I will tell you who this is.
Or in the stained glass.
This window, this is a 4,000 piece Tiffany stained glass window.
Oh my gosh.
And the woman you see here in the center is Sally.
Oh,
it's his wife. Okay.
Interesting.
Yes.
They didn't choose to make her smiling in the window. That's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
I mean, she was very dour all the time.
She just had resting bitch face. You still say that?
She very much has that look about her.
She's like, I am in this for the money. It's fine.
It's even more pronounced because she's surrounded by around 10,000 flower blooms, and she looks like,
and she's holding some beautiful greenery.
And she looks like I'm gonna say indigestion. That's the face
I would
I'm
say
seeing.
Look at her face. Reminds says to me, what have I done with my life? I don't know. That was a style. You know,
I don't know if I want that immortalized. I really don't. This is like a throwaway photo from a disposable camera, and I don't really think I want to put this in stained glass.
This might tie into something later that I was that we're going to talk about. So I had not put together. So we'll circle back here.
Okay.
But one of the things I want to note, I don't know, is this? No, that's wrong. We could see
that
here.
Was
this
weird.
That's for the next recording. Her favorite animal was the swan.
Okay.
We zoom in this fireplace picture. You can see like a wood carving of a swan.
Yeah, like chocolate swan. Sure.
Yeah. In front of the Taj Mahal as you
do. Of course. Very tasteful.
Now off center, which I think is just a huge mistake, but the swan iconography is all over this mansion because it's Sally's favorite animal.
Sure.
And she just, I mean, she just loves swans. There's swans everywhere. They're carved into the wood. They're carved into the marble. And her love of swans is even reflected in the name of the house, which is called Swannanoa.
They spent how many years building this house and they gave her 5 seconds to name it? Come on.
Swannanoa.
Yeah.
Yes? Okay.
Oh my God. Like the marble guys show up with the chisels and they're like, lady, I need a name for the work order. I'm really sorry. Oh, well, just name it Swannanoa. Whatever, lady. That's a terrible fucking name, but that's fine.
I was so tempted to let this go, but I do want to note for the historical record, it was worth noting that Swannanoa supposedly is also the Cherokee word for beautiful trail.
Ah, okay.
So it may have had a double meaning.
Fair enough.
I mean, it must have because I like swans. What Swannanoa? Yeah.
But you say it overlooks the Shenandoah Valley, right?
Oh, yeah. Swannanoa. Yes. It's a portmanteau of,
sure. Yeah,
of Swan and Shenandoah.
Shenandoah. Right.
Yeah. I didn't double check to see if Swannanoa is actually a Cherokee word for beautiful trail. This so
definitely sounds like some revisionism here. Like she's like, oh, actually, did you know? I know it sounds like I just fucked up the name, but did you know?
Ever heard of the Cherokee people?
Yeah.
Do you know their language? You don't? Oh, thank God.
Wow. Because I know all of their words, including the word for beautiful. Beautiful thing.
Beautiful trail.
Beautiful.
So I guess we could investigate if we want to, but anyway, so he builds his palace, which is obviously gorgeous. It's completed in 1912. 12 years later, James has a stroke and he dies. Now, James died in Richmond. So I assume his ghost is holed up out there, but Sally, she died just 2 years later at Swannanoa. And apparently, she has not left.
Ooh, but that smells.
Sorry. It stops after a while, I think. I think that
once the flies do their job, it's fine. It's really okay.
They really take care of that. You know, everyone's like always swatting flies, but I'm like, hey, we need those. So her voice can be heard calling down the halls of the palace. And sometimes you can hear her footsteps.
Oof.
A lot of people still feel a general uneasiness that they can't explain, which has been chalked up to Sally. Now, the current owners of this building are the Dulaneys.
Okay.
Did I write this down? Dulaney? No, I didn't. So after Sally died, she left it in her will to her sisters. Her sisters sold the house immediately. So this may go back to like your whole thing about the framing of the photo they chose for the stained glass. Like she hated this place. It was very bad, very insulting. But they sold it immediately. So the Dulaneys say their cats absolutely refuse to go to the third floor of this building. And they have tried carrying them up the stairs, as you do. It's like a fun game. It's like when I like grab my cats to give them to my 2-year-old. I know it's going to go badly, but it is kind of fun to see what'll happen. So when they do that, the cats will puff up, they will claw to get away, hissing, and they will run away. They will not go to the third floor.
Interesting.
Further interesting, because Sally Dooley was actually very well known for hating cats.
Oh, okay.
Now, Twisted Paranormal Society, which is an organization of great repute, I think.
I can only imagine, yeah.
They did an investigation of the house, and they determined Sally is not the only ghost at Swannanoa. There are also spirits of some servants and groundskeepers in the palace. And the palace is privately owned. It's closed to the public, but they do tours every now and then. And what I will tell you, Patrick, is when I thought we were going to record this last week, I was really excited because I looked. There was a tour 2 days ago, yesterday, Saturday. And I was like, I should go, and I could go. It's 5 minutes from my house. I could go on this tour. I wasn't sure we'd actually record this based on things. So I didn't go, but they open up a few times a year. So next time they open it up,
Absolutely.
We've recorded this. I'm gonna go.
A little ghosty, a little revisiting ghosty.
I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a little Ghost Plus content. Mm-hmm. I can go and chat with some folks there about the ghost there. So we're going to do that. Mm-hmm. So fantastic. Be on the lookout for that at some point in the future. I don't know when the next opening is, but it'll be this year. It'll be in, you know, within a few months for sure. I think they do it 4 times a year. So that'll be coming. Now, before we wrap up, I do want to share, a fun fact. Nope, that's not it. I want to share.
No, it's absolutely that.
I want to share. That's right. Let's take a fun time. I want to share a fun fact.
Wham!
There it is. The U.S. Navy did consider purchasing and renovating this property in 1942, which they calculated would cost $200,000 renovation for the purpose of establishing a secret facility to interrogate prisoners of war.
Oh, that's not as good.
They wanted to buy this palace as a place to interrogate prisoners of war. The quote continues, the military rejected it in favor of a civilian conservation corps camp in Fort Hunt, Virginia, which sounds not good, because it seemed unlikely that Congress would approve the purchase of such a palatial structure for the purpose.
But you should see how easily blood washes off a marble. You would really.
I mean, we need one hose. Don't need great water pressure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Done.
It just falls off. It's really wild.
It's. Oh, man. So that is the story of Swannanoa Palace right near me in on Afton, near Afton Mountain here in Virginia. And like I said, we will soon do some extra content about my visit to the Palace and Patrick. I don't know if you want to come out here. We could schedule it around the palace is open. I don't know. Got to contact your friends in DC and see if it makes sense, but could be pretty fun. Your face tells me that you would not think it would be very fun, but I, but I'll go alone. Anyway, this has, thank God, been another episode of Is This a Ghost? I'm sorry y'all are listening to this without the benefit of Jeremy's excellent work. And that's just something we're all dealing with. You've heard the whole thing as we do it here, and that's a cross we all now have to bear. This is a production of Smith Show Media. The notes on this wonderful, wonderful haunted palace are taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes are from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor doesn't exist this week, but normally he's Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And we, we'll be back next week because we're going to record another episode in about 3 seconds after this one. And I'll tell you this. This martini that I've had is really settling, and so it's going to be quite a journey. Anyway, don't just tell people that you're a lawyer and make a lot of money off that. It might sound like a good way to go, but if you do that, you might end up as the next guest on Is This a Ghost?
Give me the button one more time.
Which one?
The big one. All right, I'm done.